91.9 FM. I'm Rosalind Scott.
And I'm Ken Jones. Coming up tomorrow morning on KBOO at 7, it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8, on The Abe and Joe Show, Joe Uris hosts a two-part discussion looking at how the Democratic National Committee's trying to shut out Bernie Sanders and how the U.S. Constitution upholds property rights and prevents solutions to the environmental crisis. At 9 in Alternative Radio, journalist and author Loretta Napoleoni speaks on the ISIS crisis. At 10, it's Flashpoints, investigative news radio with host Dennis Bernstein. At 11, Stage and Studio presents a special program from the Humankind series on Thich Nhat Hanh, renowned Vietnamese monk, writer, and leader. And at 11:30 on Art Focus, host Joseph Gallivan talks about Art Basel Miami with Jane Beebe of PDX Contemporary Art and painter and sculptor Eugenia Pardue. Thank you, KBOO members, for your generous support. If you aren't a current member, this is a great time to become one and have your pledge double all this month. Just go to kboo.fm and click on Donate Today. Good night, Rosalyn.
Good night, Ken. Good night, Danielle.
Prison Pipeline is a radio program dedicated to educating the public about the Oregon criminal justice system. Topics include incarceration and reentry, addictions and mental health, elections and laws, victims' rights, and criminal justice reform. The program presents a unique understanding of the criminal justice system, addresses the root causes of crime, and challenges the status quo. It seeks to promote awareness and activism in order to foster a safer, healthier, and more just society.
Prison Pipeline airs on Monday evenings from 6:30 to 7 p.m. on KBOO Portland. Check us out every week. If you miss an episode, you can stream it later. Just go to kboo.fm/prisonpipeline. More info about upcoming shows and events related to the prison community can be found on our Facebook page, Prison Pipeline. Be sure to like us.
I'm David Barsamyan, host of Alternative Radio, heard every Tuesday morning at 9 on KBOO. KBOO currently has a one-to-one match for all new and increasing members. If you become a member at this time or increase your donation over last year, your donation will be matched dollar for dollar up to $10,000 by a group of generous donors and foundations. Consider becoming a monthly sustaining member. This can be set up easily and securely online. Go to kboo.fm/support to get your donation matched today. I'm David Barsamyan, host of
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
Good evening, this is Labor Radio.
I'm Nick Bubb. We've got a very special show for you tonight. And my co-host, of course, is...
Michael Cathcart.
I'm so glad you're here.
Thanks for having me.
So tonight we've got an advocate for the movement for $15 now. $15 now because the rent won't wait.
No, it won't.
So we have Heidi Cypress here tonight. Are you there, Heidi?
Yeah, I'm here.
Awesome. How are you doing tonight?
Great. Thanks for having me on, and I agree. The rent can't wait.
No, that's absolutely true. And I don't, like, honestly, looking at the rents in Portland right now, I don't even know how 15 is going to cover that. But
it doesn't.
Yeah, it really doesn't.
No, not at all. So I'm going to put one twist on you, though. I'm gonna put this up to people out there in case they have questions that we're not thinking of in the studio. Maybe they can call in and ask their questions as well. And the number is 503-231-8187. So go ahead and call in at any time. And if you got a question for us, in the meantime, let's get down to it. What's going on with the movement for $15 an hour?
Well, actually, the movement is gaining a lot of success across the nation. I came into this work, I was a single mom for 18 plus years. I've never made more than $14 an hour, and there's a lot of women that are involved in this fight, because women are the mostly, and women of color are largely impacted by low-wage work. And like you said, the rent can't wait. So there's a lot of us involved in this work that, you know, it directly relates to our lives and wanting to win a better future for everybody. So, you know, a lot of revolutionary activists have said that the mass of people make history. And I think that's true with this fight, because the pressure from below is starting to increase on those at the top. And so we've seen movements across the nation gaining success. However, you know, the corporate oligarchs that are in charge only want us to ask for a few more crumbs, and that should be enough. But I think at $9.25 is what the minimum wage is here in Oregon, and that's just not enough money.
No.
I raised a child on less than $10 an hour for several years, and I can tell you it's just not enough money, and I worked very hard for that wage. So there's a lot of movement happening. I'll give you a quick update for the 15 Now Coalition, which is what I'm a part of. I've been a part of it for a little over a year.
Well, thank you.
There's actually, we've gained over, let me just look at my update here so I can give accurate information. We've collected over 15,000 signatures, and that's a lot of volunteers, hardworking volunteers, 15,000 signatures in the last 3 months. Some of those people are starting to get paid, which is great. And then we expect to have at least 40,000 signatures by the start of the legislative session in February. So that's kind of where we're at here in Oregon.
Awesome. And how many? So you have 15,000 signatures right now. How many do we need to actually get this on the ballot?
I'm going to say it sounds rather depressing, but I believe it's up to, I want to say it's in the 100,000 plus.
Wow.
We have a long ways to go. But if we can get, I think if you can get a certain amount of signatures, that shows the legislature that you're very serious and they have to give you a hearing. So we've been going down to Salem, especially Justin Kirsten, who is one of the longtime great fighters in this movement, has gone to hearings in Salem, and we have one coming up in January as well. So,
awesome. So, you know, I try to promote this movement as much as I can when I'm out there, but I do get some opposition from some people, and they're people that I actually really like, but, you know, sometimes it's harder to get through to them. They got different thoughts, like, well, $15 an hour, how's a small businessman supposed to afford that and not go out of business? And what would you tell them?
Well, I would say automatically the small businesses are getting their talking points from the large corporations, which really the small business owners need to start looking at whose best interest is that. That's the corporation's best interest, is to get the workers and the small businesses fighting amongst themselves and deflecting the attention away from the corporation, which pretty much sets the standard for what people are supposed to ask for. And so it's not the workers that the small business owners are in competition with, it's the corporation. And so, you know, I was a worker in two small businesses, never making more than $14 an hour. However, I have a very good understanding and at least, you know, 5 to 10 years worth of experience in small business to tell you that small business owners actually look out for their workers in a way that large corporations generally do not.
Mm-hmm.
They're also in touch with the local community. And so inevitably, if small businesses, it's advertised that they start paying a living wage to people who are in people's own communities. Say, for instance, I was in Beaverton. That's going to make people want to shop there because they know that they're putting those workers ahead of their business interest in the short term. And I think that the small business owners will actually see gains in the long term because people will want to start shopping here. Now, that is not something we're hearing in all of these talking points that are being put out there. I've been at a town hall, I've been down in Salem, and it's constant deflection back on demonizing workers at every turn, except for the workers themselves. And so we need to push back harder and challenge small business owners and say, hey, we are our best allies, and flip that narrative around and get people to focus their attention back on the corporation. Because as long as we don't do that, we're doing the work for them, and they can sit back, throw their hands up, and collect their record profits.
Right. So, you know, and I've got more questions, more opposition that people have said to me why they don't support it. But I want to hear from you out there. If you have a question, if you support it, if you don't support it, We want to hear why. The number to call is 503-231-8187. So the other thing that I hear from people a lot is, it's sad because these are some of the hardest working people, but why should a person that makes French fries get $15 an hour? What do you say about that?
Well, first of all, let's take all name names, McDonald's, Wendy's, whatever we're talking mm-hmm. about, right?
Yep.
If people realize how much money they're taking in and making off of the labor of those people making French fries, you know, the hardest working people in these corporations, when we're looking at a fast food chain, are the people at the very bottom. And, you know, that's also talking about whose labor do we value. So when we demonize people that are working, like, oh, that's a hard job. I don't know that mm-hmm. I want to do that job, but people do that job. And they serve people food every single day, mm-hmm. right? Maybe not the best food, but that's all people can afford on low wages.
Right.
However, people are not questioning the corporations that are collecting record profits off of that labor.
That's right.
Again, I like to keep going back to, let's stop demonizing the workers and put the argument back onto the corporations, which there's, you know, if you look at the media, there's really not a lot of attention on the corporations and their model that creates this inequity and then gets us turning on each other. And that's really the problem. And so I don't even spend much time, you know, buying into that argument much, because I'm not going to demonize my fellow working class people. So what I feel like my job in this fight, when that argument comes up specifically, is to start asking people questions, right?
Mm-hmm.
And saying, so why are you thinking that somebody who makes French fries, you know, whether you think it's a good job or not, their labor is just as valuable as the corporate trader? And I would say probably more, because those are the people that we see on a regular basis. They add value to our life. We interact with them. We humanize each other. And most people have not met those people at the top, sitting at that desk, pushing paper, collecting billions of dollars off of that person who's making French fries, off of their labor. And they work very hard for that money.
Oh, yeah. I've seen a meme going around on Facebook. It shows a picture of a fry basket. And it says on there, if you think the person making these French fries doesn't deserve $15 an hour, but their CEO deserves $9,400 an hour, you suck as a human being. I've seen it like four or five times. It's shown up. And I laugh every time.
No, it's good. But again, I think that we all have to get better. Those of us that care about this movement and understand what's happening and have some really good political context and some analysis of this corrupt system. The system is corrupt and we all know it. We just don't like to push back too hard against it because it's not the popular thing to do. However, I think that's what it's going to take. Those of us that have an awareness beyond just the main talking points, because we spend enough time listening to KBOO or we're involved in movement mm-hmm. work, organizing work that's not glamorous all the time, we need to be really much smarter about how we're to this question and answering those questions, so that people start thinking a little bit harder before they automatically start putting it back on the worker. They start thinking about the corruption in the system, which is creating the problem, not the workers that just want a living wage.
Right. So I'm getting a note here. We've got a question from Tom, or a comment. Tom, are you there?
Yes, I am.
How are you tonight?
I'm very well. How are you?
Fantastic. Thanks for calling in. What do you have to say?
Well, listen, I think that the minimum wage should be $22 an hour. And I think that if you're a business owner, you should be able to make whatever you can. Whatever you can.
Mm-hmm.
There should be no limit. But if you're a CEO, that's just a job.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Just another employee. And mm-hmm. your wage should be 15 times the salary of the lowest paid worker in your organization.
I think
because those people at the bottom are doing more in one day than you'll ever do in a week.
That's true.
Yeah, it does seem like there should be a cap tied to, like, the maximum a CEO can make versus the minimum the lowest paid employee
can
make.
Well, I think what they should do then is just, if you make more than 15 times what your lowest paid employee makes, then your tax rate on the money above that should be 99.9%.
Amen.
That should be your tax rate.
That sounds good to me.
Yeah.
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, because who needs to make more than 15 times a person working for them?
Yeah. Plus, it's not even
a working person, because
right.
people don't work. They just grow calluses on their behind.
Uh-huh.
And it's not even that radical an idea. I mean, that is essentially the concept that was pushed by FDR, you know, taking us out of the Depression was...
Well, we've got the Republican Party and the Democratic Party working against us because they're all corporate.
Exactly.
Force. I don't think that's a swear word. They are.
Think you're
taking
right.
money from corporations so that the corporations don't have to do anything but collect more money from us.
Yeah. Right.
You are right.
Anyway, I wish you all the best, and I go for $22 an hour.
Well, thanks for calling in. Happy holidays to you.
You too. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
And that's funny because we were just talking a little bit earlier before the show about you know how they make you feel bad, right? If you're if you're poor and you go out to a restaurant one time, right? They're like, oh, well, you want more money? Well, maybe you just shouldn't go out to the restaurant. You know, you're just living too extravagantly. But the people that are putting this down, these CEOs, they're buying jets.
Yeah,
I'll never be able to afford that. You know, in 100 years of my wages.
Yeah, our ability to be completely blind to the crazy expenditures of the super wealthy while being very attuned to the minor lifestyle changes of poor people is crazy. I mean, if you're talking about someone being able to maybe enjoy themselves going out one night a week or something like that versus someone who probably, you know, goes out every single day and night of their life.
Oh, sure.
Pays for fancy meals, you know, never takes the bus, but instead has someone drive them everywhere. I mean, that's...
I bet you they don't pay for those fancy meals. I bet you they either have the company pay for it or they write it off and the taxpayer pays for that meal for them and the entertainment.
And regardless, even if they paid... Oh, yeah.
Can I zero in on something that he said, actually?
Yeah, absolutely.
Sorry, I'll just say it straight up. I'm a revolutionary socialist and I talk about workers' power as much as possible.
Amen.
And, you know, if you listen and read between the lines of what... And I know, yeah, I would love to make $22 an hour. But what I heard what he was saying is that we should cap, right? Like, oh, we should make so much. But don't even put a cap on what these corrupt CEOs, because he actually made the argument for us, right? There's a lot of corruption within the corporate structure. But why are we capping what working class people can attain to, but we don't even question even well-meaning people like the gentleman that just called in, and he has some interesting ideas, but again, just let the CEO make whatever he wants. We're still exploiting people's labor at the very bottom, and that's why I think with this kind of conversation, we need to keep coming back and, again, getting really, like, fine-tuning our hearing and being able to kind of hear between what people are saying so we can kind of shift the dialogue around to stop, because it is, it's constant demonization of working class and working poor people, and they are the hardest working people in the society, yet we demonize them, not me, but the corporations and the media demonize them the most.
Absolutely.
So that's why shows like this are really important.
And I've had conversations about the cap on CEO pay before too, and I think if Tom was still on the air, what he'd probably say is that, well, if they can't make more than 15 times the bottom person, then the only way they can make more money is by raising the wages of their bottom person. So in that case, there's actually incentive for them to pay their employees more. So it's kind of like a double-edged sword there. It limits the extreme greed and then also puts incentive on them to increase the wages of their people that need it the most, you know?
But I have to say, though, as a socialist, like, I just don't... This is all reform, right? And I'm involved in this movement, like I had mentioned earlier in the program, from my particular life experience and struggle that I have. I understand it's important for me as a single parent, a woman in this society that has had the struggle and understands that struggle, to be speaking up and having, you know, by extension of what I'm talking about, having women's voices being raised and being put into the conversation. But this system, the whole entire system, is corrupt. Capitalism, the way that structure is built, is corrupt at its very nature.
Yeah.
It's all built off exploitation. So, you know, I always ask the question, so what kind of system are we talking about? So really it is reform versus revolution, which is nothing... that really doesn't get talked about as well. So I always ask those questions. They're not popular, but I have to stay true to where I'm coming from. So these questions will always, within this capitalist system, the way that it's set up, the questions that the call-in person made, and it's, you know, the ones, conversations that you're having with folks, those are always going to be the questions until we can get to, you know, dreaming of a better future where we don't have to exploit people that other people can make billions of dollars for what? Like you said, for a jet?
Right.
To fly around the world and gentrify, you know, the crap out of stuff and then just kind of show up wherever they feel like it and exploit some more. And, oh, there's a tax shelter. in Africa and one over here, and I'm going to go dump my money there. There's no environmental regulations. Like, this is how the system operates. So.
Oh, yeah, it's awful. And I think, you know, I mean, you're a revolutionary socialist, you know, and I've definitely, I guess, on the show from Socialist Alternative and and other socialist organizations, I think that people misunderstand the term still. And importantly, when people start talking about the Scandinavian countries, you know, like Sweden just went to the 6-hour workday, 30-hour work week. Wouldn't that be nice? But the main opposition question to that is, well, who's going to pay for it? Well, here's what they do in other countries. All the oil that they have is owned collectively by the nation, and that's how they pay for their things. Here, you have a couple of families, you have a couple of super extremely wealthy people that own all the oil. And why? Why should it benefit one person when it could benefit an entire nation?
Exactly. Well, those people are paying high taxes, and they don't seem to mind because their quality of living is very, very high.
Yeah, so they're receiving benefits.
There's
benefit
a shift away, but like we had mentioned in the pre-conversation, there's a hybrid of capitalism versus socialism, and I just wanted to say really quick too. When, like myself and other folks, especially here in Portland, because that's where I kind of cut my political teeth, if you will, when we say we're revolutionary socialists, that means that we have an anti-capitalist analysis. And while, like I said, while I appreciate the work that, you know, Kashama Sawant and the 5 for 15 are all doing, I understand those are reform tactics and not so much about, if you will, smashing the system.
Right.
But we have to work within the system and get these conversations going and then dream of a better world and get people, you know, rethinking of things in a much different way. And then I think things will start to change. But
yeah, I mean, raising the minimum wage and those steps are just, you know, reforms that help transition towards, you know, away from capitalism towards socialism.
Exactly. Yeah.
So if you're listening,
I'll be a little more comfortable in the transition period, right?
Yeah. So if you got a comment or thought on it, I want to hear about it, whether you support it or you're against it. Call in and tell me what you're thinking. The number's 503-231-8187. I got a message from Mario. Mario wants to know if the fast food worker gets $15 an hour, if they'll get his order right. Oh my goodness. Yeah, here's what I want to know. If the CEO that's getting $9,400 an hour, if he can get my order right.
Well, okay, so
if you can get our economy right.
Yeah, no kidding.
People forget this country of America, right? People have a very, very short history. Their minds cannot hold very much information. Can we go back to what happened in 2008? Did, like you said, did those corporate raiders, what did they do? They screwed everything up, but did they get a lot of attention on what they were actually doing? And the detriment to how many people suffered, the housing bubble, all of those economic crisis was caused by those few individuals. But we're worried about the fast food worker getting their order right. But why are they not getting the order right? Because they're not making very much money. And it's
they're stressed out.
Environment.
Who can do anything right when they're under an extreme amount of stress? You know, in Iceland, they're taking those bankers, they're charging them with crimes, they're going behind bars for at least a couple of years, and here they're being rewarded. They're taking our taxpayer money and, like, bailing them out.
The fact that Jamie Dimon is still the head of Citigroup is insane. I mean, he is a criminal on the largest degree, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And he's put something like $700,000+ into Hillary Clinton's campaign.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Well, I would be remiss, though. I want to make sure I cover this, that there is another rally that's happening. Again, let's want to talk about the local, what's happening locally. So on January 14th at 2 p.m., and real quick, I'll say, you can go to 15nowpdx.org to get the most latest and greatest information. It's a really great website. There's a lot of really great folks posting information. But on January 14th at 2 p.m., there'll be a rally in Salem at the Capitol building. If you go to the website, you'll also see if you want to sign up and ride down on the bus. That's kind of fun.
That's a Thursday. If anybody's wondering what day of the week that is, can you get time off from work?
Thursday, January 14th at 2 p.m. down in Salem, and then there'll be a legislative hearing at 4 p.m. Folks from the 15 Now Coalition have been down there for a series of pushing back against what the legislators are doing, because let's be honest, the Oregon legislature is very friendly to big business.
Absolutely.
And so they don't really have the workers' interest in mind. And so folks like Justin and Jamie and a few other folks have been going down there consistently know that it's important to get out in front and kind of like keep us and what we're talking about on the forefront. Even if they don't necessarily make that change, it's important action to take. And so one of the things that folks should be aware of is that there is a shift where folks think that we should just go to 1080. 925 is the minimum wage, so we could go to 1080. And then maybe 1350.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's happening is a lot of folks who are kind of on the outside, not actually doing the on-the-ground organizing, are using those as wedge arguments to try and divide those of us that are doing this work. We don't think that, you know, anything less than 15 is enough. And in fact, like you had mentioned, we had chatted earlier today about the living wage. And when they say it was never intended to be a living wage, well, they're making the argument for it. So they know, in fact, that, you know, just 15 even isn't enough, right?
Right.
And
yeah.
So these measures that they're taking aren't really going to get us to where we want. So, like, their Senator Dembrow is pushing the idea and wants 15 for different tiers in Oregon. So right now, the coalitions within Oregon doing this work are not, we're not all really cohesive yet. But that's the way the legislatures want it, because as long as we're divided, we're not going to be pushing all for the same thing, which gives more mass power, mass movement, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so 15 now, though, clearly understands that we want to, 15 now is our goal, but it is going to be implemented over a three-year period, so in three different steps. So when someone's signing a petition, that's what, in fact, they're doing, because we understand, especially we're on the side of small business, that it's going to take a little bit of a transition. We don't really care what the corporations say, because we all know, even if they paid, as the gentleman said, $22 an hour, they'd still be making record profits. And so that's one of the things we're going to be pushing for when we go down on the 14th, is to talk about that specifically. And they usually will have people give testimony. And so I think it's really important. If folks want to come actually see this movement in action, it's, you know, and it's not a lot of pressure. It's just, you know, there's a lot of really great folks doing this work. And so it's a good excuse to take off of work, too. So.
And I just have a question for you quickly.
Sure.
Am I correct in understanding that there is also a proposal to raise the minimum wage to $13 an hour that's running parallel to your proposal for $15 an hour that might...
There's a $13.50 ask. I'm just trying to look up the information. I wish I had all of this incredible information at my fingertips, but...
Well, here's one
for
you.
I know that there is a coalition that's looking at $13.50, because really what folks... You know, they're afraid to ask for the 15, and they think it's too progressive. It's too, it's pushy,
it sounds
right?
Bold, because you're jumping from 9 to 15, 925
yeah.
to 15. But here's
go ahead.
So here's another oppositional argument that I hear from people a lot. They say that minimum wage isn't designed to be a living wage. And what do you say to those people?
Well, you know, I actually thought a little bit about this, and like I said, when people are saying that, right, they're actually making the argument for you as to why we need to have more than the minimum wage that's going on. So the thing is that those jobs, a long time ago, that's what a lot of low-wage young folks would get, those jobs, right?
Right.
Low-wage service jobs.
Right.
But right now, I mean, I would say in the last 30 years, there's been a shift away from private sector and public jobs where people were making a decent living wage, if you will, probably anywhere starting at $18 an hour and up.
Oh, the largest employer in America in the 1980s was General Motors, and they paid $25 an hour. Today, it's Walmart, and they pay $9 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
But see, this is the other reason why folks, besides just whatever activism you do or you're paying attention, they're not talking about how much of a shift these corporations have moved their business offshore, if you will, right? Getting tax breaks, tax shelters, getting and sourcing products very cheaply, and then cutting wages, because there hasn't been a real hard pushback in the labor movement. There have been people doing a little bit of work here and there. And so they've been able to do this shift. And so while people complain, they're like, oh, just get a different job, it's not that easy, because the same types of jobs that were available, even when you get out of, you know, college with a college degree, those jobs are not available because of the way that the corporations have been able to shift things around with little to no pushback. And so you still have a lot of low-wage, low-income jobs that's all people can get. But again, like I've been going back to in this conversation, again, we're putting it back on the worker, and we're not looking at the corruption that is built into the nature of the way that these corporations run. And so, again, you know, if anyone wants to be a friend to workers and does like what the Fight for 15 stands for, they should be flipping that around constantly too. And we should, you know, again, small business owners, go out and talk to them. Get them to see that we should be on each other's side, not pushing back against each other, push back against the corporation.
You got about 2 minutes left. If you got a thought or a comment that you'd like to give about the $15 minimum wage movement, the number's 503-231-8187.
And yeah, I really do find that like a lot of the arguments that people put forward against raising the minimum wage really do, you know, like the best response to that is to say, well, if our economic system cannot handle a shift in which every single person who participates in it is able to live at a basic minimum standard, then I think it really, it's a huge indictment of our capitalist system. And so I think anytime someone throws any argument at you against it, you really need to just challenge their understanding of how our economy works and the value of our system in general.
I think the biggest thing that kind of like inhibits people from supporting it is there's a handful of people out there that went to school for 10 months, you know, to be like a pharmacy tech or a medical transcriptionist. And I think those jobs pay around $20 an hour, right? And I think those people probably...
Yeah, I actually went to the small town pharmacy, so...
Yeah. And so I think these people are looking at that going, you know what, well, I went to school for a year, and if the minimum wage comes up to $15 an hour, I'm not going to get a raise, but it's going to raise costs around me. You know what I'm going to do? I think fear, and you know, it's the corporate masters that are great at facilitating this to happen, but...
Yeah, it's divide and conquer.
It is, I think that's what's happening.
Absolutely, yeah. You have people scared about the fact that they are only making just above 15, and what will that do to them? And I think really it forces you to tell them to look upwards, really.
Well, and I would be remiss too. One of the arguments I hear all the time is working class people are saying how they won't be able to afford stuff because the price of products will go up. But again, that goes back to why is a small business having to compete with large corporations?
It's because the large corporations have a monopoly. You know, Weyerhaeser owns all the lumber. They get to set the price.
Products from afar off exploited labor. And so, again, small business... Stop demonizing the workers. We appreciate you. We should all be on the same side, and then maybe we could win some stuff. But that's, you know, that's the problem. So.
Well, Heidi, that's about all the time that we got. I want to thank you very much for coming on the show. I got a couple of announcements to make for people that are out there listening. Local 48 of the IBEW is going to be accepting applications for their apprenticeship program.